Today, I would like to just go over with you a few very short ideas relating to the Aleph Beis. Baruch Hashem, we've gone through all the letters of the Aleph Beis. Yesterday, we did the last letter. And tie up some loose ends. What?
We're going to do the Ende Oisiyos?
When we did most of the letters, some of them we did touch upon. Sometimes we touched upon the end letters. Okay, this week's next week, Bezalel Yodeo Hayil Tzarif Bohem Oisiyos Shniru Bohem Shamayim Varetz. Bezalel was the master craftsman for the Beis Hamikdash, for the Mishkan. And Chazal revealed to us something very important about the letters of the Aleph Beis in connection with Bezalel. Bezalel, he knew where did he derive his chokhmah to build the Mishkan. So Chazal said he knew how litzoreth, to combine the osios, the letters, shebohen, with them, nivruhu shamayim varetz. The Mishkan is a microcosm of the creation of the world. And Chazal revealed through Bezalel that the letters of the Aleph Beis were used to create the world. And being that he knew this magical combination of how to join together letters to create the world, it was him that was selected to serve as the master craftsman for the Mishkan. So what's very interesting is that in the Mishkan itself, in Bezalel, we indirectly learn in this Maamar Chazal that the letters were the building blocks of creation. Now, where do we find a remez to this idea? So this is a popular idea. It's quoted by many Mefarshim. Bereishis in the beginning, Bara Elokim, Eis HaShemayim V'Eis Aretz. But there are many ways to break up a pasuk. Bereishis in the beginning, Bara Elokim, Eis. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Eis, the Aleph through the Tav. And with the Aleph and the Tav, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu can proceed. He has the DNA, he has the building blocks. He can now proceed to create the world. But Salel, who knew the secret, he knew about the Aleph, as he knew all these magical combinations, which obviously this is way beyond us, he was able to serve as the master craftsman to build the Mishkan, which was a macrocosm of creation. Okay, I saw another very nice idea in the reference to the Aleph, is the first pasuk of the Torah, which is the root of all of creation. If you take the first letter, this comes from the Ben Yishchai, it's a brilliant, brilliant, beautiful vart. You take the first letter of each one of the first words of the first pasuk in the Torah, the numerical value is 22, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Let's explain. Bereishis, base. Bara, base. So you keep track, you keep running the numbers. Elohim, Ace, Hashemayim, Ve'ace, Ha'aretz, 22. So the Rashi Tevos, the first letter of the first Pasuk, equals 22, corresponding to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which is the basic foundation, the basic building blocks of creation. Now, there's a new sefer which came out this week. I'm thinking about spending some time. Perhaps it's about numbers, the wisdom in it's morale. You'll love this sefer, Michal. This sefer is pure morale. Rabbi Hartman, do you remember Hartman? He's the one who.
The Gur Aryeh said, and the others.
So he is a co-author. There's a person, his name is Osher Levine, if I'm not mistaken, who is a student or friend of this Rabbi Hartman. He attends a shiurim, and based upon the shiurim of Hartman, he put together a nice, thick book called Wisdom Through Numbers. It's in English, published by Art Scroll. It's very, and he goes through... all different popular numbers. So in the beginning of the Hagdama, I was just browsing through the Sefer in the Hagdama, he says something very interesting. He says that in the secular world, you're probably very familiar with this, Rabbi Chol, there's a debate, are numbers, which came first? The chicken or the egg? Did numbers come first and then creation? Or the world exists, and numbers is a man-made convention to understand, for us to relate to this world. Or that's the second approach. Or no, the numbers is the language of nature. So by the Goyim, they debate this issue. You clearly see from that, the same way you have that debate with regard to numbers, the same thing is true with regard to the letters of the alphabet, language. If you're not a religious person, so letters of a language, it's a convention that's made by man. We have a world, and we live in this world. We have to communicate. We have to record things. So we have to create a language. We have to create symbols in order to communicate with one another. That is how a non-Jew, that is the way a non-Jew would look at a language, would look at any collection of symbols used as a language. But Jewish theology, it's clear as day that the letters came first. That's a very powerful thing. This is a basic principle which the Goyim have absolutely no hasaga.
To me, it's also clear that from a Jewish point of view, we live in a base 10 world.
That's another issue. That's a base 10. That's another base 10. That's a separate issue. But putting aside the system, just talk about the letters, those are the alphabets. It's not a convention. In fact, it came before. That's what Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis. Before man came on the scene, came the letters. Letters is not a convention. It is part of creation. Now, to prove this point, this is a very subtle idea, but it's very, very deep. A ger, everyone knows the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, where a ger came to Hillel HaZaken, and he said to him, "Teach me Kol HaTorah Kula," on one leg. So the Gemara has different versions of the story, different game which came to Hillel. And one of the stories, it says that Hillel says, "Okay, I'll teach you the Torah." And he began to teach him the Aleph Beis. The question is, the Aleph Beis is teaching the Aleph Beis Torah? That's not Torah. You teach the person, "I want to learn Torah." "Okay, you want to learn Torah, I'll teach you Torah. You have to have some background. Go take a course in language. I'll teach you the Torah in English. I could teach you the Torah in Russian. I don't have to teach you the Torah in the Aleph Beis." Aleph Beis is just a convention of how we can understand the Torah. The first thing that he taught in, "I want to learn Torah, I'll teach you Torah, I'll teach you the Aleph Beis." Just the letters of the Aleph Beis themselves is considered Talmud Torah.
Then you can combine anything with the letters.
But the point is, you can easily make a mistake and look at, okay, the letters of the Aleph Beis is a convention. Oh, you'll say, it's not a purely secular convention. It has some spirituality to it. There's something significant. But it's not like learning Pasuk in the Torah. It's not like learning a concept, a religious concept that Hashem gave, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hoceichem Me'eretz Mitzrayim. That's not correct. The letters of the Aleph Beis, the Tzura, the form, the order, everything that there is about the letters of the Aleph Beis itself is 100% Torah. It's something which came even before the existence of this world. And Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis, those letters Aleph from Tav came first. The first letters of the first pasuk in Bereishis equal 22, which bring out this idea of the Aleph Beis. Another interesting remez is that Hashem's name Yudkei Vavkei. Okay, one of the main names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yudkei Vavkei, right? The Shem Havaya. Yudkei Vavkei. The letters that come before Yudkei Vavkei equal 22. What comes before the letter Yud?
Yes.
9. What comes before the letter He? 4. So 9 and 4, what are we up to? 13. What's the third letter of the Hashem's name? Yudkei Vav. What comes before Vav? 5. So where are we up to now? 18. What's the last letter of Hashem's name? He. What comes before the letter He? 4. 18 plus 4 is 22. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, to a certain degree, is connected with the letters of the Aleph Beis. They are in sequence. Yisrael, Veraisa, V'kudsh Shabbich Chadhu, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Aleph Beis is the essence of the Torah. Now, let me give you another idea that we all know that learning Torah is a very big schus. Now, if you take all the letters of the Aleph Beis and you add them up, okay? First of all, let the jump in. You have all the letters of the Aleph Beis. One, yeah.
Is
if you take the four long letters, the end of it equals 26, which is equal to...
Yud, K, the four and the four long letters.
No, if you take the 22 letters, and all the end are...
27.
So
it's 27.
It's five.
27 letters. Mansapach. Mem, Nun, Tzadi, Pei, Chof.
No, long.
The mem is not a long letter. It's an en mem. Okay. There are four long letters, and there's a mem soifis, which is sosum. Okay, it's good. Okay, but there are a total of 27. There's 22 and 27. But sometimes there are different levels of drush. They're part of the same letter. It's just it's used at the end of a word. But in Echanami, sometimes we do refer to them as part of the sequence. Like we always mention the gematria. You go from aleph through tav. That takes you to 400, and then the next five letters are 500, 600, 700, 800, 900. And what's the next letter? Aleph. What's aleph? Eleph. So after 900 comes 1,000. But in a very similar form, we only focus on 22 because those letters just really repeat. They're part of the same letter. If you add up the gematria of 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4 and so on and so on, what do you get? What's the total number? 60. If you add up all of the letters,
What are the letters after...
The order?
After you count that.
Mem.
Tough is 400.
If you add up, I did not explain myself correctly. I apologize. If you take all the letters of the aleph bays and you spell them out, aleph lamed pei. I'm sorry, yeah, aleph lamed pei, bays yud sof, gimel yud mem lamed. We learned that gimel is the only one that has four different letters. Add, take all the letters of the aleph bays, spell them out, and then count the number of letters. There are exactly 60 letters. Okay, one more time. This is serious stuff. This is not gematrius. This is not a chumash mice.
What are 60 is?
Why 60? Because what are the letters of the aleph bays? The letters of the aleph bays is the essence of Torah. Torah Shebal Peh is divided into 60 sections. There are 60 mesechtas in Torah Shebal Peh. So you see that when you take the letters, the base letters of the aleph base, and you spell them out, you expand them, the result is 60. And 60 represents the Torah Shebal Peh, is the expansion, the elaboration of the essence of Torah. Aleph Beis are the building blocks of Torah. The fullness of Torah is expressed as Torah Shebichsav, and then there is an oral Torah, Torah Shebal Peh, which elaborates, which explains the Torah Shebichsav. That how many sections of Torah Shebal Peh are there? 60. So, and we find a hint to this concept in taking note that if you take, well, it's not a coincidence, take all the letters and open them up and spell them, you're going to result in 60. If you also take into consideration the Mansapach and you spell out, that gives you another 12 letters. Mem, Nun, you open up, it will give you a grant of 72. And 72 represents one of Hashem's name, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has 72 letters. So you Yisrael, the Reis, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you see the Kadosh Baruch Hu's essence is also connected with Torah. Aleph Beis are the building blocks of creation. It's Torah, and it's also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his name is a name which captures the essence of 72. Now, what about the gematria? This is what I was referring to before. If you add up all the letters, you have to try this at home. Take all the letters of the aleph bays and add them up. Now, it has to be that you lay up the gematria off if you spell out the letters. Right? I didn't prepare properly for this. If you add up all the letters of the aleph bays, 1 plus 2 plus 3 plus 4, you get to 10 plus 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. You add them all up, and then what?
Till 10, I think, is 55.
Yeah.
You add them all up. Now, I think what this means is, I didn't prepare, then it also could be, you have to also add the mansapach. Okay, I leave this for you for homework to figure this out, but it definitely works. It works well. You figure out which way it works, but it definitely works, and it's a very, very powerful lesson. Very powerful lesson in this Musa. If you add up the letters of the aleph bays, they add up to 4,239. I believe that means if you open up the letters, aleph lamed pei, bays yud saf, add up all of the numbers, it will give you a grand total of 4,239. There is only one pasuk. What?
Oh, I see. Before it was the total of the letters. Now it's
right.
The value of the letters.
Now, what is the significance? There is one pasuk in the Torah that has the gematria of 4,239. One pasuk. Al yerach levavchem v'al tirohu v'al techpazu v'al tirodu mipnehem. Hashem is talking about the nations of Canaan. Do not, your heart shall not be soft, do not be afraid, do not techpozu v'al tirodu mipnehem, ki Hashem Elokechem. We say this, they say the mishbech for the Medina, we should know this pasuk by heart. I haven't davened a shul, they say the mishbech for the Medina a long time, so I'm getting, I used to be the one that used to say it. I used to be the one that would say the mishbech, the mishbech for the Medina, but already, what?
Not in our version.
Ki Hashem Elokeichem Haolech Imachem Lilachem Lachem Imayvechem Loishe. That part. We only say half the pasuk. We only say half the pasuk. We get cheap. Okay, so, but I'm getting rusty. It's been almost 2 years since I used to say, every week I used to read it very slowly and carefully, to Mishaberach. The Mishaberach for the Medina and the Mishaberach for America. For the President and the Vice President. And the Tzahal. The Tzahal I did not do because the Gabbai did that during laning. The Minig was in the Shlu Raidavin where during when they made the Mishaberach for the Cholim, they made the Mishaberach for the Tzahal. So because I was not the Gabbai, so I didn't get a chance to make the Mishaberach for the Tzahal. But I made the Mishaberach for the Medina, for America, and for Eretz Yisrael. And part of that pasuk, Hashem Elokeichem Haolechim Lachem Lilachim Lachem Lilachim Lashiaschem, that's the end of the pasuk which begins, Al Yerach Levavchem Yal Tirov Yal Techbazu Yal Tirodu Bibnehem. Where is it? I don't know. I have to look in the sitter. I do not know. Sorry. I put you in a wall. I told you I'm giving you homework. I told you have homework. You have to find the pasuk of the pasuk. That pasuk adds up. Look in the Mishaberach from the Medina. Mishaberach from the Medina, the article Siddur. Make RCA version. Well, where I dive, they only had RCA versions. They sent back the other versions. Even the Hebrew only was an RCA version. In any event, it says that there are 4,239. So what is the significance? Now, I'm not trying to make any political statement, because this is a hot issue near it, so with the draft. But even if you're in Hezder, and you go to the army, and you learn Torah, you have to know that the Koyach HaTorah is what's going to protect you in war. It's a very powerful vart. Okay, it's good for Hezder, a good Hezder vart. That all the letters of the Aleph Beis, we add them up, we spell them out, equal this magic number. Unbelievable vart, 4,239. And this pasuk in the Torah equals exactly 4,239, telling you that the koyach of Torah, limud ha-Torah, is what gives you the koyach of al yerach levavchem v'al tiroch v'al techpozu v'al taharitzum b'meim ki Hashem Elokeichem ha-olech imachem li-lochem lochem im-oideichem le-hoishia eschem. Isn't that an amazing word? That's a powerful idea. That's something we should keep in mind. Look in the art scroll sitter. Look in the note.
No, the pasuk. Where is that pasuk from?
Come in Re'e. I think it's in Parashas Re'e. I think it's in Parashas Re'e. If I'm not mistaken. All right.
What is that?
Okay. Let's now go to another idea.
What does that say for the one you just about the numbers?
The numbers. Which numbers?
The
new that is published, Wisdom Through Numbers, published by Art Scroll, by Rabbi Levine, Osher Levine, together with Rabbi Hartman. Brand new, hot off the press. Hot off the press. Okay, let's go to another idea. In the Torah, in Tanakh, how many psukim in the entire Tanakh have all the letters of the Aleph Beis? So it's brought down in my sources, 26. There are 26 psukim throughout the entire Tanakh that have all the letters of the Aleph Beis. That's a lot. In the Torah, Chamishei Chumshei Torah, how many psukim are there? Two psukim. What are the two psukim? One is by the man. What does it say in the man? V'latu, that each person shall take Oimer Lagogolas, Zeh Hadav Asher Tziva Hashem, Zeh Hadav Asher Tziva Hashem, Liktu Mimenu, Oimer, okay, let me look it up. Tez Zayin. Let me read you the pasuk. Zeh hadavar shetziv Hashem liktu mimenu ish lufi ochloi oimer lagol goyles mispar nafsho sechem ish lasher bialoti kachu. Okay, where else do we have a pasuk in Chumash Chamishei Chumshei, which is all the words of the Aleph Beis? In Oy, Hanisa Elokim lavoy lo kachas loy goy mi kerev goy, the masois v'oitzos v'mosin v'mulchama l'chol asher rohu einecha. Did it ever happen where HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he took out a nation, did for a nation these incredible miracles, like what Hashem has done for you? Never happened such a thing. What is the significance that these two psukim contain all the letters of the Aleph Beis? So we have to start with understanding that the letters of the Aleph Beis represent the idea of Talmud Torah, Torah. In the zechus of Talmud Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of the Yachid and takes care of the Tzibur. Because the pasuk in Tezvav in Shemos is a pasuk which tells us Hashkacha for the Yachid. Zeh, look at this incredible, look at the pasuk again. Zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem litu menu ish. Each individual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides sustenance, parnasa, for the individual. Ish, lefi achlo, what he needs, based upon his needs, the food. Oimer, a measurement, lagul goyles, for his skull, misper nafshe seichem, each person in your family, ish lasher bi'aloti kachu, the father will take enough food for every single member of his family. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the needs for every single individual in the zechus of Torah. The other pasuk is the tzibur. Oy hanis elakim lavoy lo kachas lo goy mikerev goy. One nation from another nation. There is describing the tzibur. See, people can make a mistake and think that Torah is good for yechid. It's good for there are certain yechidim that have to learn Torah. But should there be institutions? Should we commercialize? Should we institutionalize Talmud Torah? Nah. It's good for the yachid. There are yechidim that are deserving to learn Torah, but it's not something for the masses. And then there are people that say, everyone, there should be basic Talmud Torah, basic training in Talmud Torah for the tzibur. But yechidim? There should be individuals that focus on Talmud Torah? No, not necessarily. Here we have a revelation in the Torah. There are two psukim in the entire Torah. One pasuk is super focused on the individual, and one pasuk is super focused on the tzibur. The pasuk in Mishalach focuses the individual, ish. Hashem will provide the needs, will sustain the yoch in the individual, ish lasher bi'aloti kachu. And the pasuk in Parshas Veschanan, oy hanisa l'kin lavo l'kachas loy, goy mi kerev goy, for the nation. No one should make a mistake and think that Torah is for a yochid and not for a tzibur, or Torah is for the tzibur, not for the yochid. It is critical, it is essential that the Torah should be accepted and be studied and be cherished by the tzibur. We all come to shul together, we have Talmud Torah Derabim, when we learn the Parashas HaShavua, which represents a concept of Talmud Torah Derabim. But when you go home, you have to know that the Torah applies when no one is watching, when you're all alone and no one is watching. There's also a Torah that has to be fulfilled, has to be studied, has to be practiced when you're a yachid, when you're all alone. That is the limud hamusar of the fact that only these two psukim in the entire Chamishei Chumshei Torah have all the letters of the Aleph Beis. A pasuk that focuses specifically on the yachid and a pasuk that focuses on the tzibur, and both of them share the theme that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide and will take care and will guide the yachid and the tzibur in the zechus of Talmud Torah and Kiyum HaTorah. Okay, let me go to another idea. This is a chashuv idea, I think. We have two different types of scripts. We have Ksav Ashuris and Ksav Ivri. Ksav Ivri is a We don't use it today. You see it in the back of encyclopedias, so you see it every so often. You come across Ksav Ivri, the Dead Sea Scrolls word in Ksav Ivri, and then you have Ksav Ashrus, which we are familiar with today, which is what we see in our Sifrei Torah. What we have in the Chumash and in the Siddur is pretty much similar to Ksav Ashrus, but it's not halachic. If you take what it says in your Siddur and you put that in the Sifrei Torah, it would be possible. That's not a kosher Ksav, but it's borrowed. Our printed print is borrowed from Ksav Ashuris. Now, in Ksav Ashuris, there are two letters which are completely encircled. They are the Mem and the Samach. The Mem Soifis and the Samach. Indeed, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Mem v'Samach Shebeluchos b'neis hayu oimdim. How did the center of the Mem and the Samach remain suspended in the Luchos when the Mem and the Samach are completely was etched through and through? It was a miracle. And there's a very big problem. The problem is that in the Yerushalmi, there's another version of the miracle. Ayin shebeluchos b'neis hayu oimdim. The ayin in the luchos was suspended through a miracle. Now, what does that mean? Our ayin in Ksav Ashuris does not require any miracle. The arms and legs of the letter ayin have support. If you etch out the letter ayin in the piece of stone, there's no need for a miracle. The answer is, if you look at an old. There are different versions of the Gemara. You have to be very careful because there are many versions of Ksav Ivri, many versions. But one of the versions of Ksav Ivri shows that the Ayin is a triangle. And that means the only, that in Ksav Ivri, the Mem and the Samach do not require a miracle because they're written like other letters. But the letter Ayin, the way the center section of the ayin could only be suspended in a tablet if it was etched through and through, if it was supported through a miracle. Now, based upon this contradiction and this idea, the Ravid says something incredibly fascinating, that some will ask you, in which script were the luchos given? Were the luchos given in Ksav Ivri, or were they given in Ksav Ashuris? So the Ravid says, well, there are two sets of tablets. The first set of tablets given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'fnei Am v'Eidah Har Sinai was given in Ksav Ashuris. And that's what the Bavli means when it says the Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hayu'imdim. But the Luchos Shenios, the second set of tablets, which was a diminished sanctity, was not given in the beautiful Ksav Ashuris that we have our Sifrei Torah today. It was given in the more mundane script called Ksav Ivri, and there the Ayin was the letter which needed a miracle for its center to be suspended. Okay, so we have over here two different scripts. We have a Bavli, we have a Yerushalmi, we have a Ravid that comes together, makes a brilliant solution. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. There's Luchos Rishonos, Luchos Shnios, Luchos Rishonos Ksav Ashuris, Luchos Shnios Ksav Ivri. The Bavli is discussing Luchos Rishonos, the Yerushalmi is discussing Luchos Shnios. Everyone is fine and happy. The Rav Yishnu is a Das Yochid because most of the Rishonim learn it's all the same. Either the two different versions, either both tablets were given in Ksav Ivri, and the Yerushalmi is the only one that we should take into consideration, and others learn that both tablets were given in Ksav Ashuris, and that would mean that the Bible is the only one we take into consideration. We have to ignore what it says in the Yerushalmi. And then there's an opinion which I think really touches upon heavy, very heavy duty things, and that holds just the opposite, that it was the Luchos Rishonos that was given in Ksav Ivri, and the Luchos Shnios was given in Ksav Ashuris, which touches upon a whole new world of ideas, which is not for now. The point I want to make with you is as follows. If you accept what it says in the Ravid, that there were two different tablets, the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios, and they were each given a different script, and each one needed a different miracle. Sach HaKol, how many letters in the Luchos, in Hashem's Torah that was given, which captures the essence of all the essence of the entire Torah, needed a miracle to survive? Three letters. Nem, Samach, and Ayin. What do those three letters spell? Masa. Masa, a journey. What do we know about journeys? we know that in the Torah there were 42 masos. The Jewish people traveled in the Midbar for 40 years, 42 stops. The survival was nothing less than miraculous. There were nani kovod, there was mon, there was a be'er, simloi simloi balu, your clothing did not wear out, there were a pillar of fire, a pillar of cloud. It was nothing less than miraculous. And Chazal tell us, these 42 journeys in the desert is symbolic. It's foreshadowing that there will come a time where there will be galus, and the Klal Yisrael will travel from one nation to another nation, from Spain to Russia to Germany to America, you name it, all over the world. We'll travel all over the world until finally the Geula Hasida will come and will be zoicha to come into Eretz Yisrael. And you should know that just like in the Midbar, the 42 journeys were miraculous, our survival in a desert of tzimohon, of thirst and nothingness and wild animals and the elements of the desert were nothing less than miraculous, the survival of Klal Yisrael traveling through Golus is nothing less than miraculous. And that's a fact. Any other nation that has been exiled from their country, they assimilate, they disappear, they just blend into society, even that. And yet, here we are, it's already been almost 2,000 years since the Golus, since the Chumbay Yesheni, Klal Yisrael is thriving. And we've been through every country in the world. I mean, of course, we're dealing with an intermarriage rate of 50%, okay, and so on and so forth, but Orthodox Jewry is something to take into consideration. There's no pushover. We're here. Klal Yisrael as a whole, last week's Haftarah, V'netzach Yisrael lo yishakeh, we're here. And anyone, any thinking human being will have to come to the conclusion that our survival is nothing less than a pure miracle. And the pure miracle is foreshadowed in the Masos, at the end of Parshas, at the end of Pekudei. What does it say? Ki anan Hashem v'lo yachol ha'eloso ha'anan me'ala mishkon yisu b'nei shol b'chol ma'aseihem. It's nothing less than a pure miracle. And what are the Masos? Mem Samach Ayin. And what is Mem Samachayin? These are the three letters which were etched into the two luchos, which only survived, only were suspended through an ace. So what is that telling us? Is that if we want to be zoche for the Masa to continue to exist, this journey, if we want our journey through Galus to continue to be sustained in a miraculous fashion, it has to be within the backdrop, the environment, in the setting of the Luchos. And what is the Luchos? Torah. The Luchos represents the fulfillment of Torah, the observance of the mitzvahs of Torah, the study of Torah, everything that is captured in the giving of the Torah. That's I think an interesting idea. When you're dealing with letters of the Aleph Beis, you cannot ignore the scripts. We spend most of our time focusing on the script of the Ashurisk script. We didn't focus on the script of the Ivri, because it's lost from us, and according to most opinions, it doesn't have any significance. It's a mundane script. I want to just point out one very important principle, which is developed at great length in a new sefer called Ksav Ivri Ksav Ashuri. It's a very, very deep sefer. Machaber spent 50 years writing it. He put everything he had into the sefer, and he says that when we write Ksav Ashuris, what are you writing? The black ink, that's the letter. The white stuff, that's not the letter, that's just filler. You need an environment, you need a canvas in order for you to paint, form letters. Ksav Ivri, this is his yesod, this is his major yesod. Ksav Ivri, the black, is not the letter. The black is the boundary of what's inside. The inside, the white, is the letter. That's the essence of the letter. And those squiggles, those funny lines that you're drawing, are boundaries to show, to emphasize, to give focus to what is inside, what is white. So Ksav Ivri is a white script. The black ink is just the boundary of where the white comes to an end. In Ksav Ashuris, and for that matter, every modern script on the face of this earth, Hayom Hazeh, as far as I know, the script is the black, what you write. And the white is just happens to be a hechitimsa, a filler, a canvas, so that you can actually write something on the script. But that's a whole new idea of what is Ksav Libuna. Because that's a side point. To appreciate the difference, white fire and black fire. What's white fire? White fire, Ksav Ivri. The black fire is Ksav Ashuris. To some degree, there is a synthesis between the two. We don't see how they come together, but it's a fascinating concept to appreciate. We learn the letters of the Alpes. We have to remember there are two scripts: Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuris. Ksav Ivri is extinct. Ezra saw to it that it should be extinct. That's one of the differences between the Shemroinim, the Kusim, and the Prushim. They never accept. That's why Ad Hayom Hazeh, the Samaritans, they're still using Ksav Ivri, because they refuse to accept Ezra. When Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, one of his major takanas is no more Ksav Ivri. We're changing the script now to Ksav Ashuris, and we explain the detail. We learned Ezra's because he wanted Ksav Ashuris has a sanctity that's not present in Ksav Ivri, and he felt that the Klal Yisrael, their spiritual status has weakened, has diminished, and they needed to be strengthened, and we have to strengthen the Jewish people by giving them some sanctity in their script, and in the script Ksav Ashuris. The Shemroinim, the Samaritans, they refuse to accept this. They don't hold from Ezra. They never came over, and that's why Aliyah Mazed said they're still using Ksav Ivri. But as far as us, we come on never. I once downloaded a font on the computer. I once taught Ksav Ivri. I once did something where we gave a shiur on Ksav Ivri. So you can download. You know, everyone has the computer. I know kids, they're fascinated with fonts. Right. I used to have my old computer years ago, I used to have 1,000 fonts. Today, I couldn't care less. I have no desire. I have no interest in this anymore. But I used to download fonts. I have Hebrew fonts, all these different fonts. So you could download for free. This is nothing. Type in the computer, download Ksav Ivri font. You have to know there are probably 100 versions of Ksav Ivri font. So you got to know which version you're dealing with. And you can start typing Ksav Ivri, and you can start testing. Do you know what this means? Can you read? Chatzi shekel, really on the machsa shekel, the old coins from the time of the Korban, it says, but this is just an idea that you should keep in mind. This Ksav Ivri, Ksav Ashuris, is it the letters, is it the black, or is it the white? What are they trying to do? And the two different tablets, the Luchos, Yishon, Luchos, Shnios, we have a contradiction between the Gemara, the Baal, and the Yishalmi. It was the Mem, the Samach, was the Ayin. The combination, all three together, spells Masa. Masa, it's a miracle, and that represents the Masais of Klai Yishol and Golis, only when it's to the backdrop of Torah. Okay, let me just make sure I got everything I wanted to tell you. Okay, one other quick thing. How many letters are there in the Torah? So you have a famous tradition. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah, right? Now, last that I counted, the last night I was a very late counting.
Exactly
600? So it says in Chazal, it says in Chazal, I don't know where it says this. You know where this is? There are 600,000 Jewish souls in Klal Yisrael. There are 600,000 letters. I remember when I was a child, I was fasting. I don't know, in yeshiva, and this woman came over to me, and she gave me this card. She said, I should go and ask my mother, if we want to buy a letter in a Sefer Torah for $1. remember, for a dollar. Another way, and they would always they're writing Lubavitch. It was Lubavitch, right? Lubavitch. So I didn't know what it was all about, and then I learned there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there are 600,000 Jews, and you can buy a letter. You buy a letter. It's your chelik in the Torah. Okay, it was a fascinating concept. Now the problem is there are a lot more than 600,000 souls, right? If you go throughout history, how many Jews are there today in America? In America, I'd say there are approximately 6 million Jews in America. Eretz Yisrael, there are also about 6 million, 5.5. So, and throughout the world, how many more are there? Another million or two?
Maybe.
Or another million. So we're dealing with, what are we dealing with? 13 million, 12, 13 million Jews in the world. So, but it's Chazal said there are only 600,000. And that's only in this generation. What about the previous generations? From the time of history until the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until now, you're dealing with probably close to billions. I don't know exactly. I don't know. Whatever, it's a big number. So how do you get 600,000? So this, the Kabbalistic Inyan, is that there are only really 600,000. They splinter. After a neshama leaves the world, part of that neshama needs some type of... it's not yet complete. The mission is incomplete, so that section of the neshama splinters off, comes back down to this world. These are Kabbalistic concepts. We don't know what these things mean. The neshamas, they splinter. There are 600,000 primary souls, which splinter into billions of souls, whatever that means. What about in the Torah? There are, last night, now we have a problem the other way around. It's very interesting. When it comes to the Jewish souls, we have a lot more than 600,000. We have a lot more. When it comes to the letters, see, last night I wanted to prepare for the shir, so I counted all the letters of the Sefer Torah. I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I only came to a count of 304,800. I got tired when I got up to 800. 885, something like that. So 885?
I think so.
304,895. So we're missing half of the letters. How do we reconcile this? We have to, the letters, the Aleph Beis. So there is really no good answer. Many have struggled. The one that came very close to a very good answer, Yaakov Kamer, I know there is. We once discussed the best answer. The best answer is Vayehi bin Soho Aron. It's missing. Part of the Torah has not yet been revealed, because when Klal Yisrael, they left Tinek HaBnechem Beis HaSefer, there's a little section, Vayehi bin Soho Aron Vayomosh, only 85 letters. That section, only 85 letters, was meant to be the other 300,000, but because we were Tinek HaBnechem Beis HaSefer, we lost it. We never got it. When Mashiach will come, it's the Pasuk Nishaya, the Torah HaChadosha. There will be a new Torah. That's Apikorsis, the Pasuk Nishaya, Torah Chadasha. There's nothing new, one of the animams. Now, so it means it's an elaboration, but it's going to refer to, according to some Mepharshim, that section which we never was given over to us, because we ran away from Har Sinai Ketinech HaBarech Mibes HaSefer. That's a very good answer. It's probably one of the best answers. But Yaakov Kamenetsky came up with another answer. They made this whole Sefer on this, all different answers, and this answer was developed by Rabbi, the one, the Daf Yomi Institute, by Mordechai Kornfeld, is that if you go learn Hilchos Sofros, every letter has a the base letter is the letter Yud. That's the smallest letter. How wide is a shin? In Halacha, a shin is 3.5 letters. Because a shin has three yuds, and there's a little bit space in between the three yuds. So a shin is 3+ letters. How big is a dalet? A dalet is, I think, 3 yuds. How big is a tav? I think tav is bigger than 3. It's almost 4 yuds. How big is a base? How big is a chaf? Every letter has a certain width. And that width is all measured in terms of yuds. The yud is the base letter, and some letters have 3, 4, some have less, some have more. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he made a calculation. His calculation was a way he didn't work out. So Mordechai Kornfeld refined the calculation, and he refined it to a point where he was off by 3,000, which he says it's 3,000, but then you have to take into consideration the blank spaces. You know, there are blank letters. And parashios, there are letters which are blank space in between parashios, parash psuch, parash stuma. There are 9 blank letters. So the belief is that if you work hard enough on this formula, of understanding that each letter starts with the base letter of a yud, and you also take into consideration the blank space, because in Sefer Torah the halach is if the letter goes all the way to the edge of the parchment, it's possible. It has to be what's called the mukaf gevil, surrounded with parchment on all four sides. Parsha psucha, parsha stuma, there must be blank space. And the shira has to be written in a certain fashion. You must have blank space. Aricha bilaveina. If you figure out a proper formula, there is emuna that you will come to a number of exactly 600,000. That's so every letter is based on a base letter of an alf. Okay, so that pretty much I think is going to conclude our series on the oisiyos of the aleph bays.